Hello and welcome back to the Especially Interesting podcast from Orcademy. I am one of your co-hosts, David Gray Hammond. Here with me is Tigger Pritchard.
Yes, welcome everybody. It's been a while. It is so good to be back.
And today we're here with Sam. Sam, tell us a bit about yourself and what are we talking about today?
Hi, I'm Sam. I'm a math student at the University of Surrey. And my interests are at the moment like people's interactions, music, and the one we'll be talking about today, which is the history of Apple products. Well, we'll see if we have time. I'd like to cover some, but my main expertise is the iPhone. So we're going to talk about the history of the iPhone's hardware, the iPhone's software, and maybe some fun facts as well.
Sounds fantastic. I can see Tigger grinning already.
Oh, brilliant. All these so far have educated me. And like with David, there's been some of them particularly interesting. And we've had a quick natter before we went live and recorded. But I'm of a generation that remembers the time before a smartphone. And we'll talk about it. I can remember the time before having one of these devices. And now I can't imagine being without one because they're intrinsically part of who I am, which is fascinating. So I'm really, really looking forward to this.
I'm not sure whether I should admit this because people tend to think I'm some young spring chicken, but actually I remember when smartphones didn't exist as well.
You've got me there. Isn't there a special event coming up for you soon, young man? But yeah, so it is. And it's interesting because I was chatting to someone this morning about the fact that like my daughter's grown up with smartphones, Apple, Samsung, et cetera, being there. I suspect, in my 30s, 40s when things started to change. And it's just fascinating. And now, you know, I still think that these initial iPhones were absolute moments of perceptual beauty when it came to having a device in your hand. But we wouldn't talk about it. I'm going off on a tangent again. Davey, you're supposed to stop me, man. I'm just getting excited. So yeah, let's go for it. Let's talk about that amazing iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we'll start off with the history of the iPhone's hardware. So the first iPhone was announced in 2007 on January 9th. Steve Jobs quite famously announced it, as you know, and he... The way he described it was a music device, so an iPod, a phone, and an internet device all in one device. So it was meant to replace your iPod, your traditional flip phone, like feature phone, and your computer. Well, yeah, well, 15 years later, I still have a laptop, but yeah.
We spoke about that before. That's a video I actually watch. Yeah, as one of my, I continue to go back to it. I watch it. I can remember seeing it. I think bits of it on BBC at the time, if memory serves. And I remember watching that video. I watch it now. I'll most probably watch it again. I get immense pleasure and happiness out of watching it. And as I said, you know, when I watched that video, and I'm a science fiction geek, and I remember watching that video and thinking, oh my God, I'm living in the future. And the bit where the crowd realizes it's not three separate devices, it's one device. The minute they all of a sudden, they're just clapping. Then you see the rhythm change and their faces go, it's one device. It's one device. That's just brilliant. Yeah. And I just love watching that.
I see what you mean, Tigger, by that. It's just like a pleasure. It's like, is it for stimming?
I think it is. I mean, there's a Sherlock Holmes one I watch. There's a bit of Lord of the Rings I watch. And it is, and I do. I watch it, and I watched it not so long ago. I think even before I knew this talk was coming up, I watched it. I find it's just so cool. It's just so cool. The vision, the design, we're coming onto that. I know everything, and I literally wanted to go out and buy one that instant. Get the money together and get it there and then. Oh, so badly, but I love that. I love that video. I love it. Absolutely adore it.
Yeah. So let's talk about that design then. So it was actually there was only one color you get, quite contrary to what we have now. So it was the most of the phone's back was silver, but the bottom of it was black. It was black plastic, and that was the antenna. And people actually said at the time that looked like Steve Jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the phone was $499 when it first launched, which was quite expensive for the time, but not now as we know. It didn't have 3G. It only had 2G networks, which was really for just texting and stuff and calling. You couldn't really use the internet. It didn't have a front camera, so you couldn't do FaceTime. And it actually had a Samsung made chipset. So this was before Apple started making their own chips.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. It might be on the cast, isn't it? No, right. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. It was made by Samsung. It was a revolutionary device. I see what you mean there. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm obviously too young to remember. I was 4 when it came out. So
let me do. I wasn't 4. I was a bit older. But as you said, the interesting analogy about that it looked like Steve Jobs because of the black polonex and all that kind of stuff, yeah, which is really interesting. But it was, I wanted to go out and buy one. You mentioned the price there. I suddenly realized how much I spent on my last phone, which is in the hundreds. And back then, if somebody had said to me, I would spend that much money on a phone, I would have gone, you could have been joking. And yet I've suddenly realized now we almost take that for granted, don't we?
Like this 500, is... five, yeah. Sorry. No, you can go on.
I was just going to say, this is the thing, isn't it? Is, you know, we've become so accustomed to walking around with a miniature computer in our pockets that we don't even think about the fact that some people are dropping sort of upwards of £1,000 for their phone, you know? it's pretty absurd to think about compared to what it used to be. I think my first phone cost about 20 quid.
Oh, wow.
I had the brick, as it's called. I worked for a care organization at the time, and they brought the phones in to help with staff. And I'll put my own phone here, see it in front of my face.
Oh yeah,
but that's my home phone, but it was similar in size to that, but about three times as thick, and you put them on your belt, and they called it the brick, and that was the first mobile phone I had, and all it did was make phone calls, obviously, but it was like having a house brick, you know, hanging on the side of your jeans.
And that's interesting. I didn't know that. I'm too young for that. That's interesting. So let's, after the first iPhone, let's move on to the next one. So it was the iPhone 3G, released in 2008, the next year. As the name suggests, it had 3G networking, so it could finally use the internet good speed internet off Wi-Fi. It had a feature called geotagging, which you know when you take a photo on a phone and it has the location, that's called geotagging. And you may not believe this when I tell you, but it was the first phone to have an app store. The first iPhone did not have an app store in its software. And this one was this one was much cheaper at only $199 at launch. So yeah, part of the reason was because it was made of plastic.
That was the first one I got, was that one. I didn't get the actual first iPhone. I got that one. It was a lot cheaper.
Oh yeah, I can imagine.
Mm-hmm. More features and it was just, I can remember smelling it. I can remember cleaning it with a cloth. I can remember, I don't think you could buy any protective cases from in those days, could you? There weren't any protective cases as such.
Not many, no, I believe.
And not that I could get where I was living at the time in Cornwall. And it was just so cool. It was just, I can remember now polishing the sides, you know, and polishing it. And it was just to me, it was a work of art as well. It was also an object of beauty, a work of art, as well as an amazing functional device.
I can imagine, yeah. I think that's the time when iPhones started to become more mainstream, I think, because the first one was just too expensive, but the dramatic price increase in the second one was, yeah, that's, for people like you, that's a lot more people bought it. I imagine. So after that was the iPhone 3GS from 2009. This was my sister's first phone, actually. It was pretty old at the time, but I think it's still it might be still in our house somewhere. I don't know. The main features it brought were video recording. So another fun fact: the first two iPhones couldn't record video without like jailbreaking, which is a whole other thing. And it also had voice control, which is kind of the precursor to Siri. So I think you just do like basic voice commands. I don't think you could ask the weather like Siri and stuff. Ask to play music, but it was I don't know, actually I have to do some research on that. But yeah, could do like basic voice commands. It was the same design, exact same design as the 3G. No real changes there.
I'm sneakily looking at pictures on the internet, which is what I do, because you just bring back so many memories I'd forgotten about.
It's like a flood of memories come back.
You know, before, you both may or may not remember this, you won't. I'm a geek. I love technology. So there are very small cellular phones, Nokia especially, yeah? Nokia, yeah. Big time. You could pay catch the snake and all that kind of jazz.
Yeah.
The first thing I had that was my precursor to my iPhone was a HP Palm Top, a personal digital assistant.
I think I've heard of Palm Pilot.
Yes, it's big fat. It had a stylus in it.
Yeah.
Flicked it up. You could do phone calls with it. That was the higher model. And you could go to the internet on it and you could open little Word documents. So it was more Windows based, if I believe. And that was, that to me was a precursor of everything we've got now, but I never would have believed we can do all the things we can do now. But that was what I had before I think my iPhone came along.
I had something similar, but all I could do was play solitaire on it, really. It was a proper, palm assistant, but all I used it for was playing solitaire.
Mm. those are kinds of devices, I believe. Were they even like backlit? Did they have, or were they just like calculators with or like the original Game Boy with no like backlighting, if you know what I mean? Like,
no, mine was backlit.
Right.
I can't remember which one it was. I want to say it was HP, but mine was definitely had backlighting on it. It wasn't very good backlighting and the screen quality was awful because after a while of using the stylus, the screen would be all scratched.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Because it had this kind of like rubbery film over it. It didn't last very long for what it was.
Oh, no. Mm. Sorry, did you have something to say?
What model are we at now?
Model of iPhone.
In your development, which is the one.
Okay. So next is quite a big leap. The iPhone 4 released in 2010. This was a massive upgrade for the time. It was had a much better quality display. They called it a Retina display. It was much thinner. It was made of glass on the front and back and had aluminium sides. It finally had a front camera, so you could finally do video chat. Finally, do FaceTime. This was not possible before then. Well, on a webcam, on a computer, it was. Had flash on the camera, and it finally had a chip made by Apple, the A4 chip, which is much faster than the previous Samsung chips. But it did have one sort of major problem. It was fixed in a software update a bit later. But it was a problem with the antenna. So basically, if you put your finger on a certain part of the phone where the plastic antenna was a very small plastic antenna, the quality of the call would just drop, and I believe the call may have just hung up. So that was a big problem. Sent Apple into
I remember that people nightmare bringing out foil patches you could get and stuff like that, so you could find areas where people would say do this and it extends the life of your, and I think people even started trying to sell like some kind of plug-in adapters that you could stick on the back of the phones, that would increase its sensitivity and stuff.
Oh, right. Yeah. That must have been like, there's a few more situations like this coming, but yeah, that must have been, I just can't imagine. That's a big problem. Yeah. So after that, the next iPhone was another incremental one, another S upgrade, if you like, the 4S from 2011. It brought along Siri, which personal assistant. I'm sure you know. I don't really use Siri much these days, but it was. I remember the first time I used Siri on my dad's iPad when I was 11 or 12. It was really cool. I hardly ever use it now though. Apart from that, it was really just an incremental upgrade. The 4S it did have a much better camera, going from 5 megapixels to 8 megapixels, and the next Apple chip, the A5, and I think that's it. Yeah, just black and white, just standard colors for the time. Yeah, nothing special in this upgrade. Yeah, apart from Siri, I guess. Yeah. So next after that, we have the iPhone 5. Now, this iPhone is special for being it's the last one that Steve Jobs had a say in the making of, because he died in 2011, very 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 sad. And this phone came out in 2012. So the way it works is they take a while to be produced, iPhones. So he did actually have some say in it, even though he actually died one day after the 4S was first released, fun fact. So this iPhone 5, it had finally a new, like, it was finally a bigger screen after 5 years, after all the Androids had bigger screens by this time. And yeah, the iPhone finally had was taller but not wider. That was how they did it. And it had a new type of connector, which a lot of people didn't like at the time. It was called a lightning port. It was a lot smaller than the previous 30-pin dock connector, a proprietary Apple connector that they use. It was the first iPhone to have 4G, also known as LTE. My dad had this one, I believe, in a slate gray color.
Yes, I did.
Chipped very easily.
Yeah, and I remember having had various phone docks, because I had an iPod as well, and I could connect this and play music. I remember the previous models, and when this one came along, I was like, I can't use it on my iPod dock. I can't charge it on the iPod dock. You had one cable with it, whereas I had, you know, three or four docks around the house, and that really began to get to me. That kind of like, no, you've got to change and buy more stuff really began to get to me then.
Oh yeah, I imagine that. The reason they did it was I think they were originally planning to switch to USB-C, which is a type of USB, but the technology wasn't quite ready yet. So they had to make their own connector. So I think people complain about the iPhone not having USB-C these days, but yeah, at the time they just couldn't. I don't think, because they wanted to go straight to that small connector. So next in the iPhone timeline, this is kind of where it gets interesting, because from every year after this point, there has been, well, every year before this point, there's only been one iPhone released, but after this point, there are multiple, and you can see, like, the after Steve Jobs passing and Tim Cook took over the role of CEO, you can see just how much Apple changed. In this, yeah, you're going to start to see it. So they brought out an interesting new iPhone. Well, interesting on the surface, an interesting new iPhone they brought out in 2013 was the 5C. And fun fact, this was my first phone.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was very colorful, but also made of plastic. And it was pretty much, it really was just an iPhone 5 in a plastic shell. That's all it was. Same chipset, same internals, everything just plastic. Yeah. Yeah, which they sold as a cheaper alternative to the iPhone 5S, which that year brought all the new technology that it would have anyway, like Touch ID, which is the first ever fingerprint scanner in an iPhone, dual flash on the camera, depending on the lighting, it would take would do different shades of flash to try and get the right color. It was the first to take slow-mo videos, and it was also the first time they offered a gold color. And the software that they brought out with it, iOS 7, it was a brand, we'll get to that in software, but it was a brand new operating system. Like I still remember it. I kind of famously not the biggest fan of change. I remember not liking this, but I eventually came around to it.
I was going to say this was where I parted company.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was the thing that started to do it for me was the change in the connector, and that I'd spent a lot of money on having, you know, in each of the rooms of the house I was then living in, be able to just put the phone down and charge it and so on. I had a big so it's an iPod speaker basically. You basically put the phone in it as well as the iPod, and I loved them. But so when I went away, I just needed one cable. Now I needed two, and things like that started to grate me. And I think I then started going towards bigger screens and bigger memory.
Yes. So
those are the things that started to pull me a little bit.
Oh, right. I was wondering, because you said before we started the podcast that you had an iPhone but jumped ship to Android. And I was wondering why you did that.
A lot of it was to do, I think, with the internal memory. So I could actually put an SD card in and increase the memory.
Right. Oh.
And though I say that now, I've had to change adapters with these and get rid of headphones and everything and all the rest of it. But at that time, it was I'm fixed. I want to be a bit more flexible in what I do, and I realised that, you know, I could buy, you know, like a whatever it might be in 64 a phone as in terms of memory, but I could put an SD card in and double it.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Whereas if you bought an Apple phone, that's what you had as a memory, and you
I understand completely. It's for some people just don't like that. They want as much memory as and other stuff as they can.
Yep, that's yeah.
I actually jumped ship for similar reasons. I became increasingly frustrated with the fact that it felt like Apple sold everything in parts, and you had to buy everything separately. Most recently, I got frustrated because I think, was it the Apple earbuds that they do, the wireless headphones? And then they sold a cable you could plug into your phone so you don't lose your earbuds. And I was like, you've just sold us normal headphones in two parts.
Oh, I don't actually remember that. Oh,
I'm pretty sure it was Apple that did that. But either way, it's the sort of thing I was seeing happen. And I was just like, why are we starting to sell products we've had for years in multiple parts?
Yeah. Redundancy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of bigger screens, like you said, Tigger, the next iPhone to come out had a bigger screen, something everybody wanted. It was the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus in 2014. It had the aforementioned bigger screen, and 6 Plus at the time I thought was huge. It had a Retina HD screen on, I believe it might have only been on the Plus model. So the Plus model had a slightly higher pixel density. But the main controversy with these phones, as you might remember, is the bending. So this, especially the 6 Plus, it was made of a fairly weak kind of aluminium that if you like had it in your back pocket and sat down, that was the end of your phone.
Yeah, I saw someone do that real life. Yeah.
In real life?
Yeah. Saw someone nightclub, something kind of falling over more than sitting down a thing. And the phone was like, kink. And it's like, but all I did was sit down. I remember seeing that one, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was a very big deal at the time. Even bigger than the antenna problems on the iPhone 4. And I think there was a famous YouTube video by Unbox Therapy where he bent an iPhone 6 Plus with relatively little force. That just got people going even more.
Would you say that the quality of Apple products declined a bit after Steve Jobs passed?
That's an interesting question. I would say a lot of things changed, but I'd say the overall quality, I don't think the qualities, well, apart from some errors like Bendgate as the issue was called, but I think it's about the same now, if not better. But maybe we'll come back to that at the end, because that's really interesting. I have a few things to say about that. So let's move on to the iPhone 6s and 6s Plus, my second ever iPhone from 2015. from 2015. It's basically what the iPhone 6 should have been. It had stronger aluminium, so it wouldn't bend with much force. It had a feature called 3D Touch, which has actually since been removed from the iPhone line. It was basically, say you're on your home screen and you tap on an application, you like long press on it, you'd feel slight vibration and more options would come up. So if you did the camera icon, you could do a photo, a video, a slow-mo video. It was pretty cool for the time, but they've removed it now. They have something similar called long press. It also had second generation Touch ID, so a faster fingerprint scanner. For the first time, it offered rose gold, essentially a pink iPhone. And the camera was, again, much improved to 12 megapixels, which, funnily enough, the most modern iPhones are still 12 megapixels, so it must be a good camera. So after this, Apple, just 6 months later, after this, they'd done something that they hadn't done before. They released an iPhone mid-cycle, which is a term in the electronics industry. They released the first iPhone SE, which is my sister's first proper iPhone that she actually used. Fun fact. It was basically an iPhone 5S with the internals of the iPhone 6S. So it was a more powerful 5S. And a lot of people at the time, they still wanted the traditional like small iPhone. So this was a big thing for a lot of people. And we'll come back to this a bit later with the SEs to come. It's a bit of a theme. Like, some people just aren't ready to move on with the times. They're not ready to move on with the technology. They still want the older style stuff. And that's basically what happened with the first SE. So next one is the 7 and 7 Plus 2016. We'll address the elephant in the room. This iPhone is a bit infamous for removing the headphone jack. A lot of people complained about that at the time. But a fun fact, I'll touch on this later, but in a couple of phones time, but I think they sort of had to. But yeah, well, I'll kind of leave that one. It was the first one to be IP67 water resistant. Basically, if you drop it in the toilet for a couple of seconds, you'll be fine. and that was in large part due to not having a headphone jack. It had what's called a capacitive home button, which means the home button didn't press. It sort of mimicked a vibration, mimicked a click when you pressed it, which I think is pretty cool. It was the first iPhone to have stereo speakers. And the first one on the Plus model exclusively to have two camera lenses to take portrait mode photos, which is a pretty cool feature. So the next year is a big one, but two types were released this year, 2017. First, we'll start with the 8 and 8 Plus. These phones were basically just the 7, but with glass backs and improved internals. And this allowed for wireless charging, which was it had been in Androids for a couple of years at this time, but this was the first iPhone to use it, and it had something called True Tone Display, which is basically the display adjusts to the in a darker room, it'll give you a color palette which is kind of based on the room, so it wouldn't really it wouldn't like hurt your eyes if it was like too dark in a room and go orange. So sorry, I just need some water. Yeah, it's pretty cool feature. Some people don't really use it, but I do. But the main, I'm sure you remember as well, the main iPhone release this year, the iPhone 10 or X, some people say. This was a huge one. It was, yeah, completely new design, all screen with no home button, instead of a gesture system, with Face ID for the first time. You unlocked it with your face. And quite famously, it was $999 at launch. But going back to the headphone jack with this one, this is an interesting story. I believe they They removed the headphone jack in the iPhone 7 because they legitimately couldn't have one in the iPhone 10. And that's because of something called the controller chip, which is in a controls the screen, I believe, or maybe the whole device. I think, and traditionally in every iPhone before this, the controller chip was underneath the bezel where the home button is, but in that part of the screen. But they couldn't do that with the iPhone 10, so they had it curve under the screen, which is pretty clever. In doing this, they removed all the room where a headphone jack could be. So I believe that because the iPhone 10 was such a huge upgrade, such a huge phone that Apple wanted people to buy, I think with that big of a release, they couldn't include a headphone jack. They couldn't make such a big change. So they had to do it with their previous model, which didn't change much. If you know what I mean, just so the uproar wouldn't be as big.
It's really interesting that you say that, because I know so many sort of Android diehard fans who are sort of, you know, oh, they only took out the headphone jack to force you to buy wireless headphones. And actually, from what you've just said, it sounds like it was completely necessary to make the technology work, you know. And sometimes as technology advances, some of the older technology has to go.
I must confess, I've got an iPod. I haven't used it for maybe 2 years plus. I've got the dock and everything set up with my amp, but I don't use it. And I went to London recently for the first time in years, and I've had phone upgrades since I went last time because of the pandemic and so on. But I've got a pair of Bose over-the-ear headphones, excuse me, and I realized that they were cabled, not Bluetooth. Oh, right. And I had a devastating trip up to London because I didn't have my normal headphones. And it's interesting because now the idea of having, you know, cable on headphones to me is just totally wrong. And yet I was one of those years ago going, no, mate, look at me, still on my phone, still look at my headphones, I'm sorted. And now, because we've moved on so much, I'm like, no, to have that cable would just be like so annoying.
I got my first wireless headphones a few months ago, actually, and I think they're great. I can attach them to all sorts of things, you know, like I can, if I want to listen to the TV in the bedroom when my partner's trying to sleep, I can use the Bluetooth to connect them to the TV and still watch TV without waking her up, that sort of thing. You know, it's good. The only frustrating thing is constantly having to go wireless.
But I keep looking at the models here because people wonder why my head's moving on the screen, but it's just, I can remember them. I can remember mates having them saying, can I have a go? Can I hold it? I still think, to me, the design of the iPhone is something that is better visually than the design of the Samsung, but I still go for Samsung for features and SD cards, which is disappearing as well. Those early iPhones, they were just works of art. They were just works of art. They were just so cool. But yeah, the headphone jack, no, I was one of those singing, saying, oh, I've still got a headphone jack, and no, I haven't. So I've learned. I've grown.
Funny thing is, actually, like Samsung, quite famously, after the iPhone 10 came out, they released adverts that made fun of Apple for removing the headphone jack. But just like, I think a year later, they in the Samsung Note 10, they removed the headphone jack themselves.
Yeah.
So they had to move on with the times as well. I remember that. So we'll move on from there. And next up, we have the iPhone XR XR from 2018. This one sold very well. It reintroduced color options. So it was like the 5C. In that it was a cheaper alternative to the main phone they released that year. It has different color options: red, blue, yellow. Unlike gold and just the traditional ones. And a fun fact, it could do, it was the first iPhone with one camera lens that could do portrait photos because of, I believe, software. A theme is that a lot of the upgrades from here on out aren't as big as they were in the early years. And I think that's just to do with, like phones can only get so good, but there is some still stuff to come that you'll see. That's the XR, and the main phone released that year was the XS and XS Max. Came in a gold color, which the 10 did not, and it could do stereo recording for the first time. Yeah. So after that, 2019 is the iPhone 11, and with two. It was basically the XR, but with two camera lenses, and it had. I've heard people say. I don't know from experience, but I've heard people say it has had a much improved battery life compared to the previous models from the previous year. But my dad currently has one, and he doesn't think so. He thinks that it's mediocre. He's told me it's kind of weird because I've heard other people say it's brilliant, but anyway, it also had an improved front camera. It was 12 megapixels. The previous on the XR was only 7. And there were two more phones released that year, the 11 Pro and the Pro Max. Now, this was the first time that Apple used the Pro suffix with an iPhone. The reason we'll get to in a minute, but it was the first one with three camera lenses. The third one was called a telephoto lens, which could take photos really close up without zooming in and compromising the quality. And so the reason they switched to Pro, I think was because for the previous year, the XS, the big new phone, it was just as expensive as the 10, and the Max model was even more expensive. And so a lot of people went for the XR, which was only $750 at launch, and they went for that one, but they saw it as a worse alternative to the main phone. So the next year, what Apple could have done was have the 11 Pro be called the 11, the model that brings all the new features, everything that everybody wants. They could have called that the 11 and had the 11, in our timeline, the 11 that actually happened. They could have called that the 11R or something. It's like a worse version for cheaper, but they didn't want to do that. They wanted to establish the it's still good, but worse model as the baseline, and then the more expensive with all the features model, they wanted that to be Pro.
So I've seen a lot of phone brands go that way actually. With I think most recently is it you've got the Galaxy S22, the S22 Plus, and the S22 Ultra.
What do they do before? Because I know Samsung for their more budget phones, they do like Galaxy A, like A01, A71 stuff like that. What did they do like before for their cheaper phones?
I don't know if they did. I get very that's where I realized it was just a phone upgrade. And then when they all started doing all these other models, I was like, I don't get it. I'm really quite lost now as to which is the best one to buy. And I've always gone for the in retro kind of, I've never bought it on the It's Command, but I've always gone for like, a flagship phone, the 6, the 8, the Note in Samsung and stuff like that. And now
I seem to remember them doing light versions of their main phones. So I think there was like, was there like the S10 Lite or something?
I want
to say that was it. I don't know. At the moment, I'm on an S10 Plus, and I don't know what I'm going to upgrade to next, because this has been a very compelling podcast. And I have also been looking at other brands that will work with my Samsung watch.
Tigger's got one. I'm going to say, look, I've got a Samsung watch, got a Lars interface, which is from Star Trek: The Next Generation. So I've got, you can't see it. It won't show.
I can see it now. Yeah.
I've got the Enterprise on it and stuff like that. I'm that bad. I am that bad. I tell you.
That's kind of cool, though.
I love it. So there's a little Enterprise, and I can press buttons on it, and it's really cool. But I'm going off on tangents. I'm sorry.
No worries. So we'll get back to it. Next iPhone, so 2020, start of the pandemic. This was when Apple they decided to release a new SE iPhone, the SE 2 or SE 2020, my current phone. Mm-hmm. And this one, like the first SE, the first one was an iPhone 6S in the shell of a 5S, and the SE 2 was an iPhone 11 in the shell of an iPhone 8. So it had all the 11's internals, the A13 chip, as it was called, and all the RAM and stuff from the 11. It was put into the shell of the now aging iPhone 8. So yeah, and the part of the reason, it was the same with people back in 2016 with the first SE. People weren't ready to move on from small phones. They didn't like all the Plus models. They wanted something small. This was when, a few years after the 10, most people were moving on to the gesture system, and there were some people who were ready to upgrade from 6S's and 7's who didn't want that new system. So they still wanted to keep the home button. Maybe they just wanted a smaller phone. But so this phone catered to those people.
I have to be honest and say, I think I've got an S20 Plus.
Oh, yeah.
And again, if you go back to the first iPhone I had, the difference in size is incredible. And again, if you said to me, I'd carry around almost again like another house brick in size, or half a house brick, I would have gone, no way. But now, I even considered the Ultra. I do a lot of my stuff on my phone, movies, you know, social media, emailing, that kind of stuff. And as you get on a bit, a bigger screen's better for your eyes.
And
sometimes where, you know, we are so used now to seeing people with you know, massive phones, holding them in their jeans and their jackets or whatever. And I find that, and that to me shows you my addiction to it almost, because I'm happy to have, you sit down and go, oh, that's my phone, so I'll just move it. And you think, what am I doing? The phone is making it uncomfortable to sit. And things like that, but you know, the varying sizes that all phone manufacturers do, I find fascinating, because it's just like, you know, it's getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, I think after this one, I will. It's kind of nice. It fits in your hand, but yeah, maybe after this one, I would like a bigger one, but yeah, we'll see. So going, the SE2 was released in the spring of 2020. Now we'll move on to the autumn, when the 12 and 12 mini were released, and this was the first time, instead of a Plus, there was a mini. So this one also catered to smaller phone fans. It had a new design, which was similar to the iPhone 5s that people wanted, and this also allowed for it to be thinner, but still retaining and even improving on the major battery life improvements from the 11 series. So yeah, and this was also the first iPhone to have 5G, quite famously, and also a feature called MagSafe, which you could charge. It was a sort of circular charger that you could attach to the back, and it would charge. So you didn't have to use the charging port. It was a contact-free, an alternative to wireless charging that didn't use the charging port. And there was also the 12 Pro. As well, another Pro iPhone, and there weren't really too many improvements over the 12, but the main one being a LiDAR sensor on the camera, and this helped with augmented reality. But the 12 and 12 Pro, they were very similar. Like a difference between the 11 and 11 Pro that I forgot to mention before. The 11 Pro had an OLED screen. Our audience might not know what that means. It's basically in an OLED screen, all the black pixels are turned off, so it looks really good. But the 11 had only an LCD screen, which didn't do that. It backlit all black pixels and every pixel. But the both 12 models, 12 and 12 Pro, they both had OLED screens, so there were even like less reasons to buy the 12 Pro if you didn't want to, you could just buy the 12. So after that, getting quite recent now, 2021, the 13 and 13 mini, that's the same arrangement as last year. It had a new camera system. It was with the 11 and 12, two camera lenses were vertically placed. This time they were diagonally placed to allow for bigger lenses. Had a smaller notch, finally. And it had a feature called cinematic mode, which is basically when you take a video, it could do like a portrait mode picture. It could do, it blur out the background and just focus on the face. And there was also the 13 Pro as well, and 13 Pro Max. These were the first phones to have 1 terabyte of memory and what's called a 120 hertz display. So a very, very smooth experience.
I've got 120 hertz on this and I love it.
Oh yeah.
And when you turn it off, you can see that it's like, really? This is how addicted you get, isn't it? Occasionally, to save battery, I turn off, if I'm away from somewhere and I haven't got my normal plugs on me, I turn the 120 hertz display off and it just seems so slow. So kind of, come on, catch up. No, the 120 display is really, really cool. I've got an S20 Plus. The 120 display on that is really nice.
All right. It took a while for iPhone to that may be a theme that you or the audience have noticed so far as Samsung and all the Android manufacturers, they're typically the first to bring about new features, whereas Apple's a bit more conservative. They don't like to bring out new features unless they're sure or they're ready for it and the technology is ready for it. But they do bring about quite a few like refinements to it as well. Yeah, well, I have heard people say the 120 hertz display is good. I hope I get to try it sometime. So, final iPhone we'll talk about today, the most recent one, actually a new SE, the SE third generation. Like the previous SEs, its first one was 6S in the shell of a 5S. Second was the 11 in the shell of an 8. This one is a 13, also in the shell of an 8. So they didn't change the design. It's the same, basically the same as this one, just a darker shade of red. But it does have 5G. It has all the new features, the 13, well, yeah, most of the new features the 13 has just in the shell of an iPhone 8, which some people do like, but yeah, it would have been, to be honest, it would have been cool to see. It would have been cool to see a new take on the SE and a new design, but I think what they've done is fine. Yeah. How are we doing for time, by the way?
We're actually sort of running out of time a bit on my end. I was going to say, I think we need to do a part two.
The 5G, do you know what? I live in the beautiful, darkest depths of Cornwall. And even on my travels, I have not yet used the 5G on my phone.
Oh,
I can't
really?
Wait to use it. Have any of you?
I have not. I don't have a 5G phone. But
I've never used that. The hertz are like the 5G, I haven't. But it's no, you're right. Another part two would be fab. Mm. I mean, it's like...
Yeah.
I'm interested in the battle almost between Apple and other phones. I have this thing, Apple, in all their products, the MacBooks as well as their phones and their iPads, they seem to have somehow, I don't know how they did it, whether it was Steve Jobs, the passion, his insight, whatever, but they seem to be, they seem to be objects of desire, whereas... Mm. My Samsung phone is really good at what it does, but I still look up Apple stuff and go, that looks really cool. There's a difference there between Apple and Samsung. Is Apple even? I mean, I've got a Surface, but you know, some of the latest Apple, you know, MacBooks, they look really lush.
Yeah, they do look good. Even I think that's why people want them. They're just really cool,
which is interesting. Yeah. I mean, we had better. Close up because I think
sure.
My fault. It's been really interesting. I've interrupted lots. It's been so cool.
I'm looking forward to getting a chance to really get into the software because we've talked a lot about the hardware today, but I think you know, if we do a part two, we need to look at the software.
Good. If you'd like to do a part two, that'll be good. Yeah, because I did have some stuff on the software, and if we do have a bit more time, we can do a bit of iPads, iPods, Macs,
that would be lush,
and fun facts as well. So I'd be open to a part two.
Your part two, definitely. We'll arrange that. I'm just going to ask, is there an iPhone for you that you, historically, or that you haven't got yet, that you really think is like the one that is really cool?
I think the 13 Pro is obviously pretty cool. I think maybe the most influential in the entire timeline, I'd probably say either the 5S, just how much it brought with its software and how big it was at the time, as well as the 10, just again how big it was in hardware.
I go back in history and I can still remember the iPhone 4 being an absolute object of beauty. The metal surround, I can remember that. That's the one I remember buying and just spending ages looking at it in the box. The whole unboxing thing, she videoed it. You know, and that to me is a phone that stands out in my life as like a, wow, that is cool. I've got a picture of it now and I'm like going, oh, I remember you. You were so lush. It's terrible, isn't it? As an object.
It's fine. I know what you mean. I do that. I take time peeling the plastic off and stuff. You won't enjoy that.
But listen, I realized we forgot one of our very important intro questions. So we'll ask that quickly before we ask you the final question. So how did you discover that you are awesomely autistic?
Mm-hmm. I was diagnosed at the age of 4 or 5 in 2008. I'm diagnosed by others, not self-diagnosed. My parents, they saw that I was a bit withdrawn, so they got me a diagnosis, and the rest is history, I guess. I've actually done another about a year ago, a year and a couple of days ago, actually. I did a podcast talking about my experience as a young autistic person. So if you'd like to watch that as well.
It came up on my feed on Facebook. You and I, wasn't it, as a memory, and I went, I remember that, I'm going to be doing it again soon.
Include a link in the description, shall we? Tigger, do you want to take it final question?
You can't see it, there it is, these blue. What's your favorite stim?
So from my life, it's always been this one, pressing my hands together. It's great, but the problem with it, as I've discovered, it causes calluses on your hands. Wow. So I do now have a pumice stone, which I use. Like I run my hands under hot water and scratch the calluses away, but within a week they're back, because I keep stimming. But so I have been starting to use fidget spinners, and I may get a few more fidget toys in the future. But for now I'm pressing my hands together.
Lush.
Excellent.
Oh, thank you.
Well,
it's been great. Thanks. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for this part one, because we're definitely going to do a part two. Mm. And this has been the Especially Interesting Podcast. We have been your co-hosts, David Gray Hammond and Tigger Pritchard. We've been here with Sam today. We've learned a lot about the history of the iPhone, and join us next time when we talk about the software. So, goodbye, everyone.
Thank you all so much. Stay safe. Thank you all so much. Bye.